The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Okay, y'all ready? Everybody ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey there, pond people. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 4 of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. 4 is a low number, but like we just revamped everything. We're not doing true crime hardly anymore. Probably maybe on occasion, because there are still a couple stories that I'm still interested in, because you don't change overnight. But we are kind of trying to be more Jesus-centric, not religious-centric, Jesus-spiritual-centric, because there is a big difference in that. And today we are starting our testimony phase. So we've got our buddy Shonda on here, who's going to give us her testimony in just a few minutes, which is going to be awesome because she likes to talk. So it should be good. I'm just kidding.
Yes,
actually, I'm excited. Not. She does like to talk, but yeah. But how's it going, Shonda? You good?
I'm good.
Nice.
Ben, you want to pray us in?
Yeah, let's pray in. That would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we pray that you bless this episode. We thank you for bringing Shonda here, and we pray that you touch as many people as you can with this episode and help her to get the story out that you want the world to know from what you have done in her life. And we thank you so much for all the blessings that we get each and every day, including today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And before I let you start, I'm going to have to share a couple things, because I had an amazing experience it's actually been really cool the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, but on, what is today, Monday? Yeah. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was in Nashville at a women's conference. It's called the Kerygma Summit. And kerygma is a Greek word that basically means like preaching the gospel. It's a weird word. It's Kerygma. Never heard of it before until now, but it was an amazing, amazing event. Lisa Harper is the one who does it. I don't know if either of you ever heard of her. She's kind of famous in the Christian world. She has her own podcast. It's called Back Porch Podcast, or Back Porch something, Back Porch Podcast, something like that. But she's really good. She's very influential, and she happens to be my sister Lindsay's spiritual mom. So we kind of had an in with that, it was great for me because, well, I'm a huge Hope Darst fan. Like she's a Christian singer, and she's the one who wrote and sings In the Mighty Name of Jesus, which is like a global hit now. And so Friday night, it was her and then this other girl named Meredith Andrews. She's a really good singer too. She's also a worship leader. Hope's a worship leader as well. It was those two and this other girl named Anna. And I apologize, I cannot remember your last name for the life of me. But it was Hope, Meredith, and Anna. And they, I'm not kidding, led the most spirit-filled worship session I think I've ever been in my entire life. Like, everybody was crying and, like, down at the altar and all that stuff. And Lindsay hadn't seen Lisa in a long time because she's very busy with her career and stuff, and she's also just now got her PhD, so I guess it's Dr. Lisa now, so we'll be respectful because she earned it. But yeah, she after the worship part was done, which actually lasted, we were already probably over the time we were all supposed to break and leave and go home by about an hour, But nobody like wanted to leave. It was one of those services where it's just everything's, you can just feel everything like in your bones completely is wonderful. And I was standing over there with I had emailed Lisa and asked her if she would donate tickets to Lindsay's ministry, and she gave us 10 free tickets for the whole conference, which is also is like $2,700 worth of tickets, which was amazing. So I was sitting over with Lindsay's girls, and you know, we kind of I bonded with them. They're really cool ladies, and we were just getting our praise on and having a good time together. And we're standing up, and I'm of course staring at Hope on stage because she's still up there. She hadn't left stage yet, and I hear Lisa say my name, and you know, it's one of those things because there's 2,000 people in this auditorium, right? So I'm like, I looked over to Amanda. She was on my right, and I was like, "Who did she just say?" And she's like, "You." And I was like, "No." And I happened to like glance over the stage, and Lindsay was already up on stage, and she caught my eye, and I was like, "No." And then Lisa, she's like, "Lindsay's Mandy." I'm like, "Okay, I'll go up, whatever." Mind you, there's stairs to these the stage that like, has no hand railing, so I'm like, "How long can you get up these stairs?" And the girls are like, "Come on, we'll carry you." I'm like, "We are not going to do that because you will drop me and I will fall in front of 2,000 people, and my pants will fall down because this Manjaro shot I'm on has made me lose weight and my pants don't fit anymore and belts don't help. They still fall down. It's kind of fun. I mean, it would have been funny, but I would have been mortified in front of, you know, Hope and 2,000 women. Although these are the most non-judgmental women I think I've ever been around. It was truly incredible. So I walk up to the stage, and I think Lindsay had leaned over, and she's like, she kind of just had a stroke. So then Lisa was telling everybody, she's like, "Oh yeah, she just had a stroke." And then she told Hope that, because Hope was kind of like standing right beside her on the stage in the middle of the stage, and I was still walking out because it takes me a few minutes to get where I'm going, and plus I was like doing one of those walks where you're just like, "Oh God, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry," you know, because I can't talk when I cry. And plus my face, like I'm one of those criers that when I start crying, my face like puckers up like I'm eating a lemon or something. So I'm just like, that's not a very good first impression to make. So I was like trying to will myself not to cry, which there's nothing wrong with crying. Everybody keeps telling me, but I still don't like to do it. Just don't, never will. It's just the way it is. But I was getting up there, and Lisa's like, she was telling Hope that her song in the mighty name of Jesus is what brought me back to Jesus after 30 years of me running away from him, and it's actually true. It really did. And when Lisa said that, she turned around and looked at me, had this big smile on her face, and I'm just like cheesing ear to ear because you know I'm a dork, and it's kind of fangirling out a little bit, which is fine because you know, just because she's a Christian singer doesn't mean she can't have fans, whatever. But she came down the stairs to meet me, and I had to go up and thank God because that would have been horrible because everybody's like staring at you, and then you kind of just like. When you're really excited about something, you kind of get in that vacuum where you have absolutely no idea of what's going on. She came down and just gave me a hug immediately. And then and Lisa looks over and she's like, okay, she's your daughter now. And she pulled back and she's like, sisters in Christ forever. And I'm just like, I was the smart aleck was starting to come out of me, and I was gonna be like, yeah, it's probably a good call because I'm kind of a handful. But no, the dork in me came out and I'm like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, stupid. I mean, who says that? Sisters in Christ forever. Yes, ma'am. Just dumb.
Okay.
I still feel stupid for saying that. But then she hugged me again, and then she started to pull back, and I was like, "Can I have one more hug?" And she gave me another hug, and somebody got a video of it and sent it to me later that night. And when I'd first gotten up to her and she'd hugged me, everybody was like, you know, cheering and clapping. And I was like, didn't hear that when I was walking up there, like at all. 2,000 ladies screaming, which you ever been around a bunch of screaming ladies? It's loud. It's not quiet. Couldn't hear it. I was like in the zone. So got to hug her and meet her a little bit. And then, you know, Lindsay and Lisa talked up on stage for a little bit. And then we finally got dismissed, although everybody stayed around probably for another hour, just chit-chatting with everybody and just having a good old time. And I'm not kidding. I've been Holy Ghost drunk for about 4 days now. Like, been staying in that groove. Like, I can't, like, even when I'm laying in bed, I've got my worship playlist on YouTube and just listening to that. And when I start getting sleepy and start to fall asleep, I'll put on like, 'cause you can listen to books of the Bible being read to you at night while you're sleeping. So I put that on. So, you know, I'm still hopefully waking up in that, you know, yay phase, but it's been really cool. But then there was One thing I did want to talk about that was, and this is kind of, I think I'm going to start maybe a little series on this about identity, because a lot of us who are doing the things that Ben and I are doing. Oh, by the way, Ben, I was told that our podcast is going to be kind of a ministry of its own. So I was like, you got the right people for that, Holy Ghost. I don't know, because this is like not something I can't quote scriptures or anything yet. And he's like, no, you're going to do it. It's going to help a lot of people and all this other stuff. And then I don't know how the Holy Spirit talks to you guys, but or Jesus or whoever, they tend to drop like visions in my head when I'm just sitting there. And then the first night I was just sitting there and he dropped one in my head. And it's like, I saw myself standing up on the Kerygma stage, and Lindsay had actually, my sister Lindsay had been the one who called me up and was introducing me and everything. And I was giving my testimony up on stage in front of a packed audience. And I'm like, that's so not going to happen. And then of course I was corrected, because yeah, what he says kind of goes, and he'll make it happen. And so I'm kind of working on my testimony now. It's not going to be easy, because it's probably going to piss a lot of people off. But you know what? It's in the Bible, and if you believe the Bible is the truth and all that fun stuff. But I'm still working on it. And he's like, you need to get ready, because it's probably going to happen soon. I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, bet. I'm like, all right, okay, whatever, fine. We'll work on it. So Jesus isn't subtle with me at all. He's like, I argue with him, you know, because that's my personality, because yes, he's Jesus, but I'm still arguing with him, and he seems to be okay with it. Like, he doesn't strike me down or anything. So I guess it's okay. And he can be a smart aleck to me too, which I guess is kind of my personality. So I respond better to it or whatever. But one of the speakers on the last day that we were there, I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. I think it was Dr. McKnight. He was an older gentleman, he was very good. He was a very good speaker, but he was talking about, y'all read the Chronicles of Narnia? More specifically,
I mean, I've seen
like,
movies,
I haven't read
I'm not
the
sure
whole
if I've
series.
Read. The Lion, yeah. The Witch, and the Wardrobe. How about that one? Like the first one?
I think yeah. I have.
Or at least seen the movie?
Both.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have no idea what it is, which if you don't, please go back and at least watch the movie, because it's fantastic. It's kind of set in World War II in London, when, you know, London was getting bombed, and a lot of the families would ship their kids off to, you know, somewhere in the country or to France or whatever to keep them safe. Well, there was a family of four kids, the Pevensies, and they got shipped off to this countryside mansion. And one night they were just playing around and playing hide and seek, and Lucy Pevenson, I can't remember now. It's a P something. It's PEV something. I'll look it up later. You can look it up. Google it. It's fun. It's fine. But they were playing hide and go seek, and she hid inside this wardrobe. And, you know, when you're in something like that, you're always like pressed up against the door trying to look in the crack to see where everybody is. And when the other kids came into the room, she kind of started backing up, and she ended up backing up and falling into like this snow-capped other world, basically a portal. And kind of the moral of the story in this, if I don't wrap it up, I'm going to be really long-winded about it. So, because it was such a good story, and I can't do it justice the way he did, but I'm just kind of paraphrasing a little bit and getting to the point of it. But the whole point of it was that, you know, she came back out, and she got her two brothers and her sister, and they all went back into the wardrobe and ended up back in Narnia. And there's a white witch, and she's a bad guy. She's not a good witch. She's not Glinda or anything, but she had like, there was a prophecy in Narnia that four Earth children would come and break her hold on the world and break the curse she had on it. And so one of the edicts of the realm was like, anybody who sees like the human child were supposed to come and tell her immediately, because she was going to kill him and, you know, make sure that the prophecy didn't come true, because, you know, she was kind of the ruler of the land, even though Aslan the lion, when he showed up, he kind of put her in her place, which was awesome. I love Aslan. But the whole point is that the four of them, they kind of got their footing in Narnia after they went up against the White Witch and, you know, I don't want to say defeated her because they didn't do it right away, but they eventually did and kind of broke the curse on land. And then they actually became royalty, Narnia royalty. So they were the princes and the princesses of Narnia. And they lived in Narnia until they were adults. But I mean, the real world, it was still like no time had passed, but they were adults at the end of the story. And the whole point was that those four people were essential to that world. And this kind of goes back into the identity problems that I have, like the whole feeling of like worthlessness. And I'm not good enough to have any kind of ministry or really to even be preaching on Jesus or God or his word or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is that we all are, because Jesus goes for the broken people. He doesn't want good people. Well, I shouldn't say good people, but you know what I mean. He likes the broken people, the ones who, well, I think, and this is, I'm quoting from The Chosen, you take the sick to the doctors, but
It's in Matthew.
thank you.
If you're
See, now
reading
we're
the
still
book of
speaking.
Matthew, it's in Matthew where he basically says, I didn't come here, for I came here for the sick. I didn't come here for people that are already, with God. I'm just paraphrasing what he
Yeah, it's
really
actually
meant.
when Jesus is with the apostles at Matthew's, and the Pharisees are like
Yeah, wasn't he
questioning
talking to the Pharisees about why he's doing what
why
he's
he's with the
doing?
tax collectors.
He's really here for the sinners. He's not here for the people that are good. You know what I mean? Like he's here for that. He was having a meal with the tax collectors and stuff like that. And they were
And it's
questioning why
sad.
was he eating with them,
Right. And not, the Pharisees and the upstanding citizens of, I guess, is Capernaum at the time. I guess that's where he was, wasn't it? In
I think
Capernaum.
so. I think so.
But
I'm
yeah,
not,
but
I
I mean,
don't
the whole
remember
point is
exactly where
that.
they were. It was at Matthew's house, wherever Matthew lived. But it's very odd that you brought up Narnia, because I was literally talking to people this morning about Narnia, because C.S. Lewis was a devout Christian and he wrote tons of Christian texts, and Narnia is riddled with Christianity. So I was mentioning it as like basically a Christian book. I think the lion was supposed to be Jesus, and yeah, there's a lot of
That's kind of how
stuff
the
there.
speaker was referencing it as, well, Aslan broke the rock table, and I'm just like, yeah, well, Jesus died on the cross, so I'm not really gonna equate the two together, but I can see where he's going from that. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all
And
important, is the whole point. And like the portal to Narnia was obviously the wardrobe, whereas our portal to the world is the Bible. That's literally, we want to get in and change things, we jump into the Word. And that's kind of what the whole point was, is that we are essential. Doesn't matter what our past was or is, or what we're, well, hopefully we're currently all striving to be more like Jesus, because that's kind of the whole point,
you're supposed
at
to
least
come
in
as
my
you
world.
are. I think we all have this expectation that we have to be a certain way, and that's not true. It's all self-imposed. That's all in our head, that we have to come correct from the
Yeah,
beginning,
Jesus
and
just
that's
wants you
not
to come.
true. You're supposed to come the way you are. He knows how you are,
Yeah, because he sees your heart. He sees the heart, not the
Right.
heart.
He wants your authentic self, not you being fake and, oh, here I am saying all the right words.
Yeah, and
No.
most people, if you don't hit that brokenness, if you don't hit that non-correct place, you don't turn to him to begin with, right? And Mandy, you were talking about visions, and one vision that I've had that I thought would be very powerful, and it's like what we're about to do, is I think that just having a platform where people can tell their testimonies, right, like would be huge. If people can hear and see and feel people's testimonies on a daily basis. And so I'm super excited to hear the story of Shonda.
Well, I absolutely agree with that, because like the word says, we're not supposed to do this alone. So, and not that.
Also, the word of God is what's transforming you. You're not doing it. God does it. So the more you stay in your faith, and it might take a lifetime, the more and more he
Oh no, he's
starts
working quick,
changing
honey.
you. Huh?
Working quick on me.
Well,
Like,
yeah, but you know what I mean. Like eventually
yeah.
you find yourself not doing the things that you used to do.
For sure.
And that might take time,
And
but it'll happen.
it's not even like you thinking about it. Jesus just makes
It
the
just
change.
happens.
Like, because I used to love horror movies, and Okay, I still like the Scream movies and Poltergeist. Not gonna lie. I just really don't watch them anymore. I just don't like I don't have the desire to watch anything. Like I think I've watched The Chosen probably 3 times all the way through, and I'm starting over again because I mean, what else is there to watch now other than Hope Darst on YouTube? Because I love her. She's just amazing. If check her out, seriously, she has
Reality is
such
a
an
horror movie
anointing on
right
her roles.
now.
Huh?
Reality is a horror
Reality
movie right
TV.
now. So it's like, who wants to watch more negative stuff? You just turn on the news and
Yeah.
fall into that.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. Sean, well, I'm kind of, I guess I'm off my soapbox now. Shauna, do you want to jump in and tell us your lovely testimony?
I'm looking forward to your future testimony.
Oh, Laura, I'm not.
Your story is just beginning on that, huh?
It is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up in a Christian household. So it's not like I was foreign to God. But as I got older, I can't say that I actually believed, not really believed, the way everybody else did. And I remember that. I remember feeling like, well, I know I'm supposed to, but I'll get around to it later in my life. And I just didn't feel the same way everyone else did, So, but then much later in my life, I started feeling like basically like it was time, basically, like you feel like you're being called, like you're
Yeah.
being pulled. And you don't know what's calling you, because that's how I felt. And obviously, you guys have heard my dark story on that.
Yeah.
And that
Which is
just
still
kind
up
of
on our
added
podcast
to
if
it
you want to
all.
go back and listen to it.
That just added to everything, So I was getting a lot of visions, like you were saying, like a lot of that was happening. And then I started remembering visions that I had when I was a kid. So I had all this evidence for a long time, but I just wasn't ready, I guess, And
So, do
then,
you have like the gift of prophecy?
yeah, I've always had it. Yeah.
I do too. That and discernment, which I've always called empathy, but I guess it's discernment.
Yeah.
New all the time.
But I don't know. I didn't always trust it. And
Yeah.
sometimes till this day, I still question, because you feel like, well, I don't want to say it and look like a fool. You know what I mean? And then things unfold, such as the things that came to me about you, actually.
Yeah, which was
So,
fantastic. If I and I'm sorry, stroke brain, I can't remember what it was. It was beautiful though. But it came at a time when I wasn't ready to hear it.
no,
As
you
beautiful as
weren't.
it was,
And
but
I
looking back
remember
on it now, it's kind
thinking,
of like
I don't
makes
know. I don't
sense,
think she's
you
gonna go there. And then you did.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I was praying for you. I know where you were before, and you were always doing the tours and things like that. And I knew you were very fascinated by that,
Yeah.
and I knew that was a problem. I knew it was a problem. I knew it from back then, because the devil is very deceptive. He likes to stay in the dark, be hidden, unnoticed, but
Been staying in the
he
dark
finds a
lately.
way. He's very clever, very clever. And I just remember praying about it and praying for your conversion, praying for you to come to Christ. And I'm praying about it, but I was kind of like skeptical because you were really diehard, And then one
Yeah.
day he said, "She is my daughter. She is mine." And I knew what he meant by that. Like, she's not what you think. She belongs to me. So, and then I remember sharing that with you. And telling you that. But I also remember warning you too to stop collecting the things from these places, And you were like, ah, I can protect myself.
Yeah, not so much. I still had some dark attachments that wreaked havoc, and I tell you what, but I tell you, it actually got me to the point where I'm kind of thankful for it because Lindsay said, well, you've kind of glimpsed, literally glimpsed into the enemy's camp, so you kind of can help build strategy against them. I'm like, girl, you have no idea.
Yeah, I do have idea. I
Well, Ben
know.
and I had some dark times with one of the places we went to that I'm not even gonna talk about it. It was just rough.
It was very dark
Yeah.
and scary. And back then, you used to actually scare me a lot. It's funny that Shonda's talking about it now because it wasn't so much that we're in this place because it's like I was there too, but it was that like I believe in demons and the devil and I know that they're real. And you
I didn't
were
know
in the
that.
school of thought of like there are no bad spirits. And it's like, that's not true. Right?
Well,
But
no,
that was scary.
I just, it was more semantics for me. It was more, I didn't call them demons. I was just like negative entities and energy, that type of thing. But I did not believe in the devil at the time. I do now.
Well, I believe in it all. I
Oh.
believe in possession. I believe in all of it.
I do
Well, I
too.
tell you, once I accepted the idea that this podcast was going to turn into a ministry of our own, he came at me hard. And I mean, he, and like, I Ben's never met Lindsay, and I don't think he has a very high opinion of her right now because of some other things that we won't talk about. That doesn't matter. But I love her to pieces. She's just, I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for her and Hope, of course, because you know Hope, she's awesome. But I forgot where I was going with that now. Oh, he tried to take her away from me. And I mean, I literally was like, I had sent her an email or like a Facebook message because we message more than we text or whatever, but and I told her, I was like, you know, I love you. I'll always love you. You're my sister. Blood doesn't make family. Loyalty does. And you have mine forever. But I've got a lot going on in my own life. And I still have a lot of healing that the Holy Spirit's working on me with. And this conference was nonstop. I mean, I think I cried every ounce of water out of my body for 2.5 days, but he made me like say, I can't help you with your ministry. I just can't do it. And I sent it to her. And of course, I was typing, I was crying because I love her and I want to help her. And one of her girls was sitting beside me and she's kind of reading what I was writing. And she's like, you know, maybe you're having a hard time because you're not supposed to do it. I'm like, it's done. She's like, it can be undone. I'm like, well, not right now. But then the next day, she and I had a nice talk, and she, I had actually, this would have been Saturday after, because Friday I was still on a high from, you know, getting hugs from Hope, but and that worship session, which is still mind blowing to me. But Lindsay was telling me that she had prayed on her drive up there, because we live about 1 hour and 15 minutes away from where the conference was held, that she was praying that God would send somebody into my life who was going through a lot of the same things that I'm going through, and somebody who could mentor me and kind of, you know, take on that role, because she said she can't really mentor me because I number one, I'm stubborn and I don't like to listen. Because I mean, you know, it's kind of like with my mom. I'm like, she tells me one thing, I'm just like, whatever, mom. And then my friend will say the same thing, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're totally right. And then mom's like, literally just told you that 5 minutes ago. I'm like, it's different. That's how I am with her and like, you know, my other people. And, you know, and then literally that morning, I met somebody like that we instantly bonded with, and we actually had the same, a lot of the same testimony. I mean, it was crazy, just everything lined up. Like, and the Holy Spirit actually told her to go sit up in the front row because I was sitting in the second row, and she did. And we, well, Carolina, one of Lindsay's girls, actually kind of fell into her. And so we, she's clumsy like that, but we started, she you know, when it was a break time, we kind of just, she turned around, we started talking, and it was just like I was telling her about the podcast and then like the vision I had. And she's got the gift of prophecy too, and she was saying the Holy Spirit was like, yes, it is going to be a ministry. And she's like, and yes, you are going to be up on that stage. I'm like, I think he's mistaken. I think he's just messing around. I think he's just doing that to scare me. And she's like, no, you're going to do it. I'm like, I can't compete with these PhD people, which, you know what, doesn't matter, because my testimony can help other people that theirs can't. You know, yes, they're very knowledgeable and yes, they're very scholarly, but it's not always about books. Well, I mean,
But
it's
God is the one who's qualifying you. You're not qualifying you. God qualifies you to
yeah, see, I
deliver
can
that
argue with that.
ministry. So
Absolutely. And
don't be intimidated by that.
when you read the Bible too, it's not like your knowledge, it's not your knowledge that gives you any actual true messages from the Bible. Like
Yeah.
you can read the text and you can be a PhD holder and you can learn Greek and you can know every translation of every passage and get nothing from it. It literally is exactly what it says it is, the Holy Spirit that guides you and shows you hidden meaning. And that can come to a believer who's at any level, at any time, anywhere. I mean, look at St. Paul. Like, he wasn't even a believer and he got the whole spiel all at once, like
Wasn't
the
he the
whole
one who was
shebang.
like pulling Christians out of church and like killing them?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
And
Yeah.
now he's like wrote what, 2/3 of the New Testament, I guess?
The majority of it, yeah.
But
Like,
even Moses, who had a speech impediment and didn't know what to say and didn't think that anybody was going to listen to him, and God pretty much told him, I'm speaking for you. So there you go.
and he gave him his brother, right? His brother
Yeah,
ended up,
Aaron.
yeah, to talk for him. And
Yeah,
yeah.
well, he's going to have to do the talking for me, because I'm going to get up there and be like, so this is what happened, and you don't really need to know anything else. It's fine.
And don't
Oh, you're
forget King
doing
David.
this.
King David was the smallest, youngest brother. He was not supposed to be a king by any means, but
God saw his heart.
yeah, God knew that that was the one he wanted.
Yeah.
It's
So
crazy.
don't
And
be
we totally got off
intimidated.
on a tangent. Sorry. No,
We did.
you're
Shabbat. Let's
fine.
go.
It's all good stuff.
Go ahead, continue. I'm so sorry.
Well, coming to Christ it's a lifelong process. I mean, you could go years and years and years and still, not come through all the way. But for me, feeling that call, just, feeling like I needed to get my kids baptized for some reason, I just felt like something was pulling me. I knew I felt like it was time. And then I remember going to see The Passion of Christ, and while everybody else was watching it like a movie, to me, it was big. It was like, boom, I know exactly who's calling. And that's when I remember feeling frozen in my seat. And I remember looking around in the theater, and there were other people sitting there too. They couldn't move either. That's when my purse got stolen from the theater,
Seriously?
and like,
Your
yeah.
purse got stolen
My
in
purse got
Passion of the
stolen in
Christ?
the theater watching The Passion of Christ. But that's how frozen I was in my seat.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling that someone who's watching a Christian movie is, and especially that movie, because same deal. Like, I'm looking to my left, I'm looking to my right, tears pouring down my face. Other grown men sitting beside me that I don't know, tears pouring down their faces. Like, I can't imagine stealing someone's purse at that point.
Right? That's, when I went to the police department, that's exactly what they said. They couldn't believe it either. But I knew then that was the aha moment. I know exactly who's calling me. And then from there, I started going church to church, trying to find my church home, and listening to televangelists. I still do that to this day. I listen to all kinds of podcasts, televangelists,
You like John
anything.
Piper?
Who?
Or Pastor John Piper? You
I'm
listen to
not
him at
sure who
all?
that is.
He has a podcast called I think it's just called F Pastor John, but he's like getting older now. He's been around forever, but I don't know. He's just someone that I've liked for years, so just wanted
I
to
don't
get out.
know. I may have come across something on YouTube, maybe. But yeah, I started trying to find my church home, and I remember going to this big church in Florence, and I remember I liked it. It was great church. Everything was great. The vibe was great, but it wasn't it. It just wasn't it, and I knew it wasn't it. So I got up. After that, I never went back to that church. I decided to go one right by my house. And when I went there, I felt a little lost. And then I was thinking, no, it's not here either. I remember getting up and hearing God, hearing his voice say, don't go. And I was like, and I stopped in my tracks. And I was like, okay. I turned around, went right back in. I still felt lost, But I decided, obviously, this is the church I need to be at. So I got my kids involved, and I started taking my kids to religion classes and stuff. And I started sticking around waiting for them, waiting for my son. I'm sorry, my daughter wasn't born yet. I was waiting for my son and actually reading his books, reading, paying attention to his class while I'm sitting there, and really getting very interested.
Yeah.
And from there, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to adult classes. I'm going to do this. I'm going in, all in. And I in the end understood why God wanted me there. I was under great leadership there. I mean, they had the best of the best teachers. They were on fire, very passionate teachers. And that's when it pretty much started from there. But when God showed up, so did the enemy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He was ready to be like, oh, wait a minute. Her eyes are open. I need to stop progress here. And when I tell you things went bad for me in my life, it literally everything went bad, you
Well,
know?
I think that's something that people don't really understand is that the devil, when we're born, he studies us. I mean, he knows us inside and out. So he knows exactly what affects us. And he's been using Lindsay to get to me. And I'm still trying to figure out how to squash that, I guess. It's a whole getting control of your flesh thing. I'm just like,
You just got to stay in prayer, constantly rebuking the enemy, you know, being covered in the blood of Christ, constantly staying rooted. The word of God is a weapon, literally a weapon. It is a
my
spiritual
sword.
sword. And every time you're reading it, you, even when you're reading it in your in this space, this is you're blessing your space, you know. That's why they say try not to curse, because you're cursing your space. Don't curse your space, you know, bless your space, you know, try to use the word of God, constantly stay rooted in that. Pray about it constantly. God will take care of that. You don't have to take care of that. You probably feel like, oh, I got to do this. But you don't do nothing. You go to God and He does that for
Yeah, it's
you.
a whole control thing because,
Yeah.
former ghost hunters, like, I got these ghosts. We're cool. No.
And remember, for
No,
the
you
person that.
don't. And people really don't understand. They just, you know, they think they can handle that stuff. No, you can't. No, you can't. The enemy is smart. He's clever. He knows exactly. He studies you very well. He's known you from the very beginning.
He's
He knows your
persistent.
weaknesses, and he will use those weaknesses against you, you
Yep.
know.
Yeah. And
So if you're not strong.
all of this is actually biblically illustrated if we look at Jesus being tempted before he starts preaching, right? Jesus is out in the desert for 40 days. He is talked to personally by the devil, who is saying things that he clearly knows who Jesus is, and Jesus does quote scripture to him to battle him, right? And so, like, it's all laid down when you're about, because this is right before Jesus begins preaching, right? He's in the wilderness 40 days and then he starts his ministry. So right before he's about to change the world, the devil does everything he can to stop it. Jesus quotes the scriptures and he, beats him with that and moves on. But even the King of Kings has gone through that. That's a normal devil MO.
Yeah,
And the
it
tricky thing about the
is.
devil is that it's not some creepy, scary voice. It's your own voice in your own head when he starts, at least it is for me.
Yeah. Well, God knows the heart, and the devil is definitely in tune with your mind.
Yeah.
This is what happened with Judas, you know. Notice how Jesus went from talking to Judas to talking to Satan. So, you know. It's all in the mind for Satan. He's studying, watching, affecting you here, talking to you, talking into your ear, talking into everything, you know. So stay rooted in the word of God. Basically, it's all you can do, you know. So, but yeah, he came after me. He came after me it at my, you know, spiritually. After my family, my finances, my health, he came flat, my marriage, everything fell apart. So I went through hell and back.
Yeah.
But in all of that, I do remember even then having visions of God trying to show me and warn me of all these things. And I just wasn't, you know, I just couldn't handle it all. I just didn't, you know. So thank God it came out of that, and I'm in a much better place now. You know, but the enemy can, he will come for you once you decide to choose Christ. But the difference is you're not scared, you know. That's, you know, you don't feel fear. You feel
frustration
It's
for
like
me.
a mosquito. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just
Yeah, it's just an
want to,
annoyance.
it's an annoyance.
It's like,
Exactly.
dude, you're not getting me again. Leave me alone. That's not
Yeah.
happening.
Yeah. It's just an annoyance. And God had told me many times, you know, you could tell him to leave and he will. Now, I didn't think I could do that, but you can do that.
I cuss him out sometimes because I'm just
Well,
like, bro, come on. Enough is enough.
yeah.
Jesus beat you once, he'll do it again. Don't make me call him.
Yeah.
My guess is when he says if you want him to leave, he will. He means he'll be quiet, but he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
He's still there.
He just says, well, because the day he told me that, when God told me that, it was a day I did not feel like myself. I felt irritated out of nowhere and moody. And I, you know, it's one of those things where I started noticing, like, where's all this coming from? You know, and that's when I heard God say, you know, you could tell him to go away and he will.
Oh, the devil.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were saying you can tell God to go away and he will. And I'm like, I don't
No,
think he
not
goes away.
God.
He'll be quiet if
No,
you need him
God
to be
told me you
quiet.
can tell him to go away and he will. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I did. And I guess he went away. I don't know.
You would know
So
if he
just
was
stay on
still
your
there.
toes because you're sharing good stuff. So you might be like, we need to squash this. But you know what? But you're doing a great thing. You've got a platform now to share testimonies, and that I feel like testimony does encourage people because they think that you, again, you have to be a certain way, but no, you don't. God knows how you are. He knows what you like. He knows what you enjoy. He knows what I like. You know, all the stuff that he's cleaning out of you is not your personality. You keep your personality. Well, he's only cleaning out the dirt. He's cleaning out what doesn't belong. That's the difference, you know. So if you
Well,
want to die and go to heaven with pink hair, you're going to have pink hair then. You know what I mean? Like it's totally okay. You know?
he's tweaking my personality just a little bit because I have to
Yes.
like not stop foaming at the mouth, like, because Lindsay and I were talking about that. She's like, because I'm a very sarcastic person. I don't think that's going to change because that's he made me that way for a reason. And I think it's funny to some people are just like Lindsay, she thinks I'm being rude. And I'm like, dude, I'm not being rude. I'm just teasing you. And she's like, tell that to your face. So I guess my face says a lot more than my voice does. Should probably watch that.
I still have no filter at all.
And that's okay. That doesn't make you a sinful, terrible person, you know.
No, I just have sinful moments.
We all
Got
do.
you, bro.
Yes. We all do. We're
But you
all
know
gonna
what? You've
die having
also all
sinful
got that
moments.
God glow too, because I can see it on both of you.
That what?
God glow.
Oh, it's probably the light right here.
I'll tell you this,
Go, Lenny.
like I said, like I don't restrain myself enough. I'm not a perfect Christian, but I can tell you many, many times in recent and in the past where God's hand has clearly been on my life, guiding it, making things work for the better, for my favor, right? Like that's legit that God works
Yeah.
for the favor of those who love him. Like, and you can see it in your life for sure.
I definitely can,
You
for
know, my
sure.
thing is like, okay, I'm going to trust you. This is going to be very uncomfortable for me, but I'll do it. So
Yeah.
if he's going to make this a ministry, he's got to bring us the people who need to hear it.
But you know what? If at the end of the day, and you manage to change the heart of one person, yeah, that's it. You
Amen.
did what God asked you to do, you know.
Amen. Shonda, I have a question for you. And I don't mean this to sound like a judgment because I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you should feel this way. I just wonder, like being Christian and spiritual and did you ever look at your like prophecy gift and like judge yourself for it and think that it was coming from an evil place instead of a God place? Or did you always know that it was like from God?
I knew it was always from God because it was since I was a little girl.
Okay.
But as I became an adult, I can admit the enemy was aware of this and tried to twist the gift because I would get tarot card readings and I would have actually have mediums tell me, "Hey, you know, you could be one of us." you can train and this and that. And I knew that much, that was wrong. Meanwhile, all of it was wrong. You know what I mean? And I do have something to say about that too. But he was trying to use me and pull me away and twist up those gifts and maybe even infuse what I was seeing, but really it was coming from the enemy. You know what I mean? So, but as you grow stronger and stronger in Christ, you start to discern what is from God and what is from the devil, you know?
Well, let's go back to that word wrong because I was big into tarot, and of course, I still like my crystals because God made them, and I think He imbues certain energies and frequencies and different things. So I don't see anything wrong with crystals. I mean, I don't worship them. It's not that. Sometimes they just make me feel better, but I don't like saying something's wrong like tarot stuff. And this is just for me. I'm not saying that, you can say obviously however you want to phrase it, but for me, it's more of a path that
Well, let me
I
tell
shouldn't
you
be
what
going down.
I can tell you this for sure. Tarot cards are a tool of Satan. And here's why. I remember one time, this is when I officially was like, oh, I am so done. One time I got a tarot card reading, and like 2 days later, the devil came to my house, came to my room, and actually attacked me in my bed.
I've had that, and it is
And I,
fun
yeah,
doing that stuff.
and then I remember I had to pray to get it to go away and get off me. And I remember freezing up, not even remembering any prayers, any scriptures, any nothing, because I was terrified, in my bed that I have this thing, it's on me. I can hear this buzzing sensation. Like it was a like sounded like a bug and wings and like flatting. Anyway, nor here nor there. And I remember what happened to me back when the devil had showed up when I first got, opened my eyes to Christ. And I remember then what I had to do. So I started to pray. I didn't even finish the prayer and it was gone. The next morning, or that very morning, well, yeah, that following morning, when I woke up, God was with me because he spoke to me about it. You know, like, hey, this is no, you can't do this. Stop. No. A couple of days later, coincidentally, I happened to hear this girl who converted from, she was into witchcraft and became a Christian. And she said that she started talking about the tarot cards. The tarot card was, so it was like a portal. It acted as a portal. This demon came through this medium, through these tarot cards, and had made his way back to me. And I gave it permission. That's the problem. We're giving it permission when we're using these tools to communicate into the spirit world. You're not communicating to God. You don't know who you're communicating to. That's the problem, And so the worst part is after I prayed this thing away, it tried to come back a couple days later because I remember it came back into my room. It tried to attack me again, and this time it bounced back off. Like as soon as it went to touch me, it back poof, gone. So that's how Henri the enemy is. The enemy will, oh God, he doesn't care. He'll come in the same. He already knows the coordinates to you. He thinks you still gave it permission, only this time when it came back, realized that no, I had rebuked it. You can't come here. You have no place here. I prayed anyway, but it was
You also
gone.
don't know the energy of the person reading these cards, right? Like you don't know their intent, you don't know their energy. And I believe you that maybe the cards in general are a bad tool, like a Ouija board type of thing that's opening some sort of gateway. But I did wonder, like, do you think it would be possible? And I'm not saying I want to do it. It's probably for the listeners, probably best to leave this stuff alone completely. But what if there was like a reader who prayed to Jesus before reading and prayed that the cards guided them to God's message? And like, you still think it's a no-go?
That's divination, 100%
Gotcha.
divination. Period. You know, I think we overcomplicate talking to God. Just talk to God. Just talk to him. Let him reveal those that information to you. You don't need a tool. You don't need tools to talk to God. You don't need a tool, to ask those questions. You know what I mean? And
And
then also
all the
being
times that he's
intuitive, you don't need
clearly
to know
had his
everything.
hand on my life that I mentioned, like every time that he's clearly been guiding my life, we didn't have a like big communication on this. He just did it, right? Like
Right.
it
He just
was,
tells you right then
right.
and there. You don't have to wait till tonight to pray to him to get those answers. Sometimes he gives it to you right then and there when you ask, or at least that's how it's been for me. I could be in my car, which is normally when I've got my thoughts clear, and he's already giving information, or in the shower, so we don't need a tool. Angel numbers, no. Tarot cards, no. You know what I mean? Any kind of, if you're using any kind of tool, and you saging is not of God. That is also a form of witchcraft.
Well,
So
you said no kind of tool. I will admit, I still pray the rosary.
I have a
So, yeah.
rosary too, but I'm not, this is going to protect me.
No, and I
No,
don't think that
Jesus
I
is going to
need the
protect
rosary,
you.
but it's just part of something that makes me have comfort.
But it's different because I wear my crucifix. That's not what I'm saying. But like people that are saging, they think that this is going to get rid of those spirits. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, the spirits come right on back. You know
And
what I
all it
mean?
does is hurt your lungs.
No, it doesn't. It clears negative energy out. I'm not saying it gets rid of spirits, but it
You
does
think
clear
a
energy.
big stick of sage burning and you can smell it everywhere you go is not hurting your lungs? You might as well smoke a cigarette.
Nah.
It's not going to do anything. If you're not praying to Jesus is the only one that can get rid of all this stuff, all this bad stuff. Anything demonic, Jesus, that's all you need.
It's weird when you were talking about the bed incident. I literally had been, at that point in my life doing like witchcraft stuff and the same similar stuff, messing with Ouija boards. Like we made our own Ouija board and it was working, right? Like in a terrifying way. And like I had a dark cloud come down on me while I was laying in bed. I felt my throat choke, and three times I prayed, Jesus, take it away. And on the third time it dissipated and was gone. Like, so it's like almost identical to your story. So it's definitely another devil MO.
It
And it's
is.
when you're messing with that shit.
You've given it permission to have access to you. So don't. I don't know anything about crystals because that is natural. I mean, some people have rocks, they're pretty, you know what I mean? I can't say anything about that. But
God made crystals.
if you're using the crystal as a means to communicate to spirit, now you made it bad. You know what I mean? That's what I'm getting at. That's what I say about that. Don't give it permission. Get rid of that stuff. If you have it, get rid of it.
And if you're lighting a candle to commemorate Jesus, that's all good. But if you're watching the direction of the flame to answer questions, you're slipping into the bad realm again.
It's the same with horror movies. I love watching crime court cases, live court, and I noticed a pattern with convicted murderers. They loved horror movies. Very coincidentally, they all loved horror movies. There is a
I haven't
pattern.
killed anybody yet, so.
I think horror
Well,
movies and
the point
porn.
is you're it's like you're giving glory to the devil by entertaining him. You're entertaining it, and then eventually he can get into your mind, and now you're fascinated that you want to carry it out. You know what I mean? Not you personally, but I'm saying like a lot of these convicted murderers did,
It's just that what you were saying earlier, it opens the door and it gives them permission to come in because
Yes.
horror movies, I mean, it is dark energy that comes out of it. So,
Yes, it did. Yes.
and
Baby steps,
I think
baby
horror
steps,
movies
like Watching Horror
and
Nights.
porn, because I
Huh?
think that a lot, I said horror movies and porn, because I think
And porn. Oh,
a lot of
definitely.
the sexual sadists, right, like we're avid pornography users.
So, I mean, I used to like horror movies too, but one day I was watching the Dahmer season. Was it on Netflix? I think it was. Well, I watched the first episode, and I was getting ready to watch the second episode, and God stepped in and told me, turn it off. That's what he said. He said, turn it off. And that's all he had to say, and I knew exactly what he meant. You know, like don't give it any, don't let him in. And I turned it off, changed the vibe, put something, I don't know, funny on TV, you know,
I mean,
instead.
that
I
stuff
couldn't
even watch that. I thought it was too dark.
can unfortunately be fascinating, but like realistically, you look at like Jeffrey Dahmer and what he did, and you're like, zero chance this person wasn't demonically influenced, possessed, and completely tortured during this activity. And don't think the devil's not still hanging around every movie ever made, being super happy that that event gets to be relived forever. Because it's immortalized and people worship serial killers. Let's be real, they worship them.
They do. So you just have to cut off the access as much as possible. You know what I mean? Because
That's why I just
we'll.
stick Worship music on. I'm good to go.
I do too in my car. And I mean, I still listen to regular music, obviously. I love music, but
Haven't been able to since this
yeah.
conference.
Yeah, that's what happens when you are basically in a state of grace. You know, when Holy Spirit comes upon you and he's just kind of with you for a while, you know, for a time, until you're ready to be on your own, basically. But that's how it feels. For me, it was a buzzing sensation, just feeling like I was sensitive to everything going on, that things that I thought wasn't that bad suddenly was bad, you know. So I understand how you feel.
I get hot when he comes on. Like I've just started to wear, I will, you know, I've always was always kind of embarrassed, you know, to raise my hand and praise and stuff like that. I did that in the conference and I did it on Sunday too. And you know, of course that makes me cry. So I'm just like bawling my eyes out, you know, trying not to fall over because, you know, you have your eyes closed and it makes me dizzy when I have my eyes closed and but whatever. I mean, I don't care what people think. That's what I'm telling myself. I don't care. You can
That's
make fun of
good.
me all you want to, but you know what? I feel good doing this, so.
I don't think they're making fun of you. If they're making fun of you, you're probably in the wrong place. But I would imagine they're
No,
not
nobody
looking.
cares. Just like I don't care. I mean, I post a lot of stuff on social media. I post about God almost every day. Not every day, but I try, you know. And I do have people that have reached out to me, people I don't even know, about something I may have posted in regards to Christ, you know what I mean? So that's why I say, if at the end of the day you affected one person, you did good.
Worth it. So you guys are much more connected right now than I am, but you know, one way that like God doesn't let you go, right? Like in you know, I've got to do this practicum for school. I have to for a year, I have to do a practicum where I'm being supervised and doing my counseling. And so that starts in the fall. And the practicum I got into has great supervision. It's like perfect. It's everything I could possibly want. And I am going to be doing practicum in a Christian counseling center. So I That's
will
awesome.
not only be getting the counseling supervision, I'll be given spiritual guidance how to deal with people, you know, problems through Christianity as well. So That's
God knew what he was
awesome.
doing.
Yes, he did.
That's gonna build you up, bro.
Hopefully. And it's
That's
gonna be terrifying
awesome.
too, because that makes it an added responsibility, right? That's terrifying, but it's where I'm supposed to be, and I know that he made that happen. They were literally
What?
only taking three people in these practicums for all the people that are had to get them. Like everyone's like, they're so competitive this year, and it's like literally my site was taking three people, and I got in, so I'm supposed to be there.
Well, it's like Shonda was saying earlier, it's not your responsibility, it's the Holy Spirit's and Jesus's. So they'll jump in and do their thing through you. Because I mean, I know in my heart and my head that Hope isn't the one who saved me, it was Jesus working through her. I get that. I'm not dumb. I know that. I still love her, I still think she's awesome.
Well,
But,
yeah.
you know. They're he's using all three of us. Ben and I with this and you with your social media stuff, I'm sure, and just your daily living.
Yeah.
For sure.
And not just that, it's your friends and who you're talking to, I'm sure, you know. you are encouraging people
Yeah. I mean,
to.
like I said, I like to think that I don't do anything, but then I'm like, I was talking to my friend Carlos, who's not super Christian, like about C.S. Lewis today and explaining to him that stuff. And then earlier I was talking, or another day I was talking to him about other biblical sevens. Like, I do. I just pick my moments.
Yeah, exactly.
If you listen, because like my dad's not really a Christian either, and he's having a hard time. And I was sitting or standing in the kitchen, he was talking about how he's just having a rough time and he's so sick of living this way. And I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I'm like, you need Jesus. And I was like, I can't say that though, because it's, he doesn't really, he's not really Christian. And then Holy Spirit was like, get in there and go sit down and talk to him. I'm just like, fine. So I sat down
It's
and
hard
talked
to
to him for
say
a little bit.
no.
I don't have a choice. He doesn't, okay, he will like, really, he's relentless until I do it. And I'm just like, well, it's not like, if I'm afraid also, if I say no, he's gonna, I'm not gonna get something that I want eventually. So I'm kind of like, okay, let's do it. I mean, that's not why I do it, but I'm just talking in circles and I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm so tired.
No, I hear you. And like, at first I thought you were
That's
going to say
okay.
you thought he would like turn his back on you or something like that. And it's like, that's not what happens. He
It
just starts
really
asking,
isn't.
he
It
just
really,
starts guiding you more. It's like, oh, you didn't listen this time? I'm going to ask you again louder next time.
And I won't be subtle. Like, maybe next time I will make you fall and have your pants come down so you'll listen to me. Like, okay.
Well, at least you're at a girls' conference, so might have
That's
been good for dad.
that's true.
But in the meantime, you could be praying for your dad and let God do the work. It'll come to you. Actually, that's what he told me one time. I was conflicted about something and I prayed about it. And he was like, go ahead, it'll come to you, as far as what I needed to do at that moment. And it did come to me, what I needed to do. So it's all you got to do is put it in God's hands and he'll take care of the rest. So I know how you feel because I deal with people that don't believe in God all the time, and I don't have anything against anyone like that. I really don't. That judgment is God's alone. Actually, I'm not judging them at all. I'm just
Well, it's not our place
kind of respecting them,
to convict anybody, so I do want to say one thing though.
I'm a firm believer, and I thought I was the only one that felt this way, and then I heard another minister say it, and I'm like, I'm 100% agreed that every human being in the world believes in God. They just atheists choose not to. They choose to ignore it. They choose to pretend that it's not real. But we are like preset to be connected to and know that there's a God. And I don't think you can look at anything in the world, like the moon controlling the tides, or the fact that if it was off by like the smallest degree, that the Earth would spiral out of its orbit, and the fact that all, like, if the honeybees died, then the world would stop existing because they're so intricately important to pollinating the flowers and the fruits and the, like, I
Yeah,
don't
he's
think
talking about
anyone
like
really
there's no
believes
way
there's
that
no
the
God.
a Big Bang created, like we're going back to like creationism. Like there's it's is it was all too perfectly.
Too perfect.
Yeah, it's too perfect for something to just randomly pop up like that. It just it that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
heard a
unless
comedian
God's
talking
hand
about
is on
it,
it.
and it was similar to what the minister said. And like, the comedian actually was funny, and it was cool, and it was true. And they were like, like, you can look at it like all of this stuff happened through a God, and then people think that's ridiculous, or you think all of this perfect stuff all aligned from nothing. And he's like, I don't know about you, but I think it's a lot less faith, a lot less of a stretch to think that it came from God than that it all came from nothing.
Yeah. It really is when you sit down and think about it, because Lindsay and her husband were explaining that to me too. And this is before I started to believe in creationism again. I'm just like, no, because I believe in evolution, or I did. I mean, I still do to a certain point,
I
but
believe in evolution of the body.
yeah. I
To an
mean, just
extent,
because
yeah.
we believe in God doesn't mean that we don't believe in science,
Right. And God controls evolution, clearly, right? Like, he adapts us as we advance as a people.
Yeah. It cracks me up why people think that of Christians. Like, we're not dumb.
But the funny thing is that God doesn't evolve. He doesn't change, which we do, which I don't know. I just think it's kind of interesting. When you think about it like that, he's the same as he was before. He's the same now. He's the same as he always will be. Like, there's no change. There's no evolving. He's just making the change in us.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that it's just as simple as like, how do you improve perfection? You don't. But we're super flawed. We could be adapted forever.
Yeah, we're not gonna be perfect until we're over there with Jesus, so doesn't mean we shouldn't still try to be.
Well, he tells us to be. And
Yeah.
that is written. He tells us to be perfect like him, even though we're like, well, I don't know, but yeah. We can
Well, I
try.
know
Every
my
single day
prayers
we
in the
can
morning are
try.
like, please, Jesus, let me see people the way you see them. So, I can maybe love a little bit differently, I guess.
Yeah.
And I
I mean,
think
you
a
know,
lot of people that claim that they don't believe have been through some kind of hurt, maybe in the past, or maybe something bad happened that they knew was a Christian or believed, you know what I mean?
trauma response.
Yeah, and it affected them in such a way that they're like, no, you know. So you're right, Ben, to what you were saying. I think
Yep.
even Satan believes in God, so.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. He's probably the biggest believer. Yeah.
He definitely believes,
For
so
sure.
yeah.
But then Mandy, what you were talking about like learning how to love and like don't forget that Jesus' last commandment before he ascended was love each other as I first loved you, right? Like,
Yeah.
which is almost impossible, but that is what we are given to do. It's
That's
impossible,
where
like,
controlling our flesh comes in. It's just like
right. But it's also like
sometimes I
Jesus said,
swear, I'm like, Holy Spirit, just put your hand over my mouth.
these things are impossible for man, but through God, all things are possible, right? So it's the only way.
Amen to that one.
Yeah.
Shonda, we went off on a tangent again. Were you done with your testimony?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still living it, so you know. I
We
mean,
all are.
it's a lifelong lifelong journey. There are things that God has been teaching me even as of recent, you know. He's always doing a work in me. I'm very aware of what I need to be doing, and I do do it. I don't really talk about it because I feel like if I talk about it, then I mess it up. So, you know, and I'm
Yeah.
trying not to do that. You know, I'm trying to just do it and not think too much, not give the enemy any time to even catch on to what I'm trying to do either, too. So keep my thoughts as clear as possible and just do what I need to do. So,
Yep.
yeah.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
No, keep
No.
doing what you're doing.
All I can say is
Both of
Jesus is
you.
awesome. And I
Would
can't
say
wait to
Mandy?
see where we take this. Or where God takes us with us.
For sure.
Ben, you want to do a closing prayer?
Yeah. Thank you, God, so much for bringing Shonda here today to give her story and for the great conversation that we've all had and just for continuing to have your hand upon our lives and to bless this podcast and to reach people with your story that you want to get out through this and just continue to help us to do your will in your holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're still here, it's not by accident because no such thing as accidents. But, maybe something in our episode stirred something in you. Maybe you feel it right now, that kind of pull in your heart, or you feel like maybe you're about ready to cry. It's not really emotion, that's God calling you. And what Shonda said, you don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to have all the answers because none of us do. You just have to come. And Jesus meets you right here. In this mess, in the pain, in your darkness. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you, if you're ready to surrender, you're ready to stop running, you're ready to be made new, then anyone under the sound of my voice, pray this with us. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short, but I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again. Right now, I turn away from my old life and I turn to you. Come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, wash me clean, make me new. I give you everything I am and everything I'm not. From this moment on, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And if you just prayed that, your life has changed. You may not see it right away, but it has. You're not who you were. You are forgiven, you are chosen, and you are His. And this is just the beginning. So, welcome out of the abyss and into the light. And this is Echoes Through the Abyss, where even in the darkest places, His voice still echoes. And thank you so much for tuning in to us. And if there's anyone who would like to share their story with us or would like to be prayed for, please reach out to us. Our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. And I do actually try to check it on a daily basis. So please feel free to reach out to us. And we'd like to thank Shonda for coming on and
Thank you so
just having
much.
this wonderful chat with us. It's been lovely. We need to do this more often.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, darling. And we will talk to you soon. Yeah, I'm sure. Or see you on social media.
She's TikTok famous.
What? No.
All right, guys, we love you. God bless. Thank you for listening.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.